A spoonful of sugar helps the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast go down. The Shemp Howard of Medicare podcasts. He knows that boys rule and girls drool. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Wow, what a reception. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody, to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As Drew McMillan just said, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for today. And I'm so happy to have you joining us for this, our little effort to help take the pain out of Medicare knowledge acquisition for people who are going to have to make some Medicare decisions coming up real soon. That doesn't even have to be real soon. You could be looking ahead, years ahead into the future, or you might not even care about Medicare. Randy and I share so many random thoughts and bounce subjects, esoteric subjects of conversation. We were just talking about Guinness beer a few minutes ago and how to pour it properly and how it tastes so different in Europe and everything. And frankly, I'm sorry that we don't record our conversations 24/7 because I have an idea that we would be millionaires by now if we could charge money, I think, for our episodes. Before bringing Randy on board, I just want to say this is episode number 52. We're recording it on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2020. And I only know that because we're in Arizona, where there are a lot of people who commemorate Cinco de Mayo. But thank you very much for joining us. Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is based upon my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon, where it's been number one almost every day since January, number one in its category. It's selling great guns, and I'm thanking the audience for that. And obviously, people are finding it useful in helping to make their Medicare decisions. So Amazon and then barnesandnoble.com if you want to get it there. It's a little less expensive to get the paperback at Barnes & Noble. Amazon also has our audio book version, which is selling very nicely since they finally got their poop together and released that for sale about a week ago. We sent it in on my birthday, January 27th, and they've been twiddling their thumbs ever since until about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, and now we have an audiobook of which we should be very proud, and somebody buys one of those things every once in a while. So thank you very much for that. I noticed that Amazon has discounted the price for the audiobook and discounted the price for the paperback book. They're somewhat less expensive than their normal retail price. I don't have anything to do with the pricing, but Amazon seems to want to encourage people to buy them. So I'm not going to stand in the way. Who is the lazy man, the lazy lady? It's anybody who has to learn about Medicare but doesn't really want to. That's why we're here, to help make it palatable, to help make it less scary and maybe more fun. And that's what my nephew Drew McMillan was talking about when he voiced the intro for this episode. And for that, I thank him very much. Now, let's here to talk about esoteric things that sometimes just free association. He and I just babble for hours about nonsensical things. It's Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Doug, hello, and happy Cinco de Mayo, or we could also say Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, boy. That sounds, is that Frenchy, that Feliz part?
No,
Feliz Navidad would be Spanish.
Well, Feliz Navidad is Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Okay.
And Feliz Cinco de Mayo would be Merry or Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Well, now, there you go.
I have a little bit of education here, Doug. There's a lot of people, you know, Cinco de Mayo in Arizona is a very, very hot holiday. Hot physically and very popular in that there's...
But it's a dry heat, though, isn't it?
Yes, it's a dry heat. There's a lot of people in Arizona that celebrate Cinco de Mayo because they hail from Mexico. And this is only a holiday in Mexico, because what Cinco de Mayo is the memorialization of the, in May 5th of 1862, the Mexican army was victorious over the French. So a lot of people think Cinco de Mayo is equivalent to the Mexican Independence Day. It's not. It's just a celebration of one victory of their army over the French in 1862.
Well, now, why did the French care about Mexico? What were they doing there? Because I know that the Spaniards had South America, Central America, and Mexico and Southwest U.S. What were the French doing there?
Well, I did a little bit of reading. I'm not going to be a very detailed answer, but from what I could gather, Doug, the French thought, everybody was kind of ignoring Mexico at this particular point in time, and they thought it would be a really, really nice foothold if they could get in there and basically take it over.
How'd that work out for them?
It didn't work out for them too well. there's a couple reasons I think it didn't work out, because they had no idea what they were tying into down there. But
you get a bunch of Mexicans upset, and you're gonna have some trouble on your hands.
They were not happy campers down there when the French tried to take them over. But nevertheless, it's a memorial, a celebration of that one battle, of the Battle of Puebla in May 5th of 1862.
Why does the word Veracruz stick in my mind? Is that near Veracruz, or did that have anything to do with Veracruz?
I don't know. I'll have to look that. That could be a hanging chad for next week.
Well, it certainly could, because I know our audience would be hanging on by their fingernails waiting for the answer to that question, that burning question.
The other, given that we were, you brought up my favorite word, Guinness. It's interesting because the Americans over the course of time have adopted as their own several international holidays. Cinco de Mayo is one of them. St. Patrick's Day is another. In their own home countries, the holidays aren't necessarily as big in their home country as they are here.
Aren't they more religious and more somber?
Right.
Or at least St. Patrick's Day, I thought, was more of a religious holiday.
Yes, absolutely. Now, obviously, we have turned it into something else.
well, because we got most of the Irish that have the drinking gene, and frankly, so they celebrate a little differently, a little more boisterously than some of their kindred spirits or their kinfolk back in the old country, I would suppose.
The crazy thing about it, Doug, is there's more Irish ancestry living in the States than there is in Ireland now.
Well, they went through some hard times, and that caused people to pick up stakes and move to brighter land, or more hopefully better futures that they could build. So, God bless them for coming here and contributing to our progress. And I know that I joke about their love of the brew, but they have contributed much important stuff to this country. And so welcome, Irishmen, wherever you are. As you may know, that brings to mind Chicago, which has more Polish people than any other city in the world, except for not Krakow, Warsaw, Poland. And so I don't know, the Irish kind of spread out across the country. The Poles often stayed in one spot or stayed with their own people for a longer period of time, I guess. Yeah.
No, it's interesting to follow all those migrations of, they landed on the East Coast on Ellis Island, or, sometimes there was also a dropping off point up in Canada on the east side. So some of my family, when they dropped off the boat, actually dropped off in Canada and immediately hoofed it down into Maine.
I see. Well, headed south. Let's go down where it's warm. Maine.
Maine compared to Canada. Well, okay, we'll give you a little bit of a couple temperature, degrees, but
yeah, that's about all you're going to get. I'd keep heading south.
Yeah, but, I would absolutely keep heading south.
When did your relatives wind up landing on the North American continent?
It was actually about 1734.
Oh, very good. You beat my ancestors, you didn't. I beat you by about 100 years or thereabouts, 16-something. My first recorded ancestor landed in Virginia. So yeah, it was. Yeah.
We got over here in the 1700s and landed, like I said, plopped, you know, jumped off the ship in Canada and then worked our way down into Maine. And the rest
dip that toe in the water and find out it's too damn cold up here. Let's go.
Too freaking cold up here, people. We thought it was cold in Ireland. You know, this is bad.
Well, I'm glad they succeeded in heading south and surviving that that trek. But
okay, I always have a fun fact, right, Doug?
Okay.
Okay, the fun fact about Irish, you had mentioned that there's a huge Polish population in Chicago.
Right.
What is the second largest Irish population as far as the United States, short, you know, beyond, you know, the East Coast, like New York and Chicago?
So I can't say Boston then, huh?
No. No, you can't say Boston. Well, you okay. could. It would be well, wrong.
Well, I mean, you've drawn a line in the sand with your saber and said the East Coast doesn't count, right? So I've got to think of another city where there might be a ton of Irishmen. Could it be a Canadian city?
No.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to say Cincinnati, Ohio.
You would be wrong.
Okay, damn.
It's Savannah, Georgia.
You're kidding.
No, Savannah, Georgia has the second largest population. Actually, they have the second largest Irish parade. They have second St. Patty's Day. And, okay, I have to train people. It's not St. Patty's Day. It's St. Okay. Patty's Day.
Okay, right. I understand that, but I thought you were going to say Patrick.
Well, it is.
Show the proper respect.
But one thing that'll, you know, really toast an Irishman is when you say St. Paddy's Day like it was a woman's name.
No, I would never do that.
Paddy is the nickname for Patrick, P-A-D-D-Y, Paddy.
Sure. That's what all Patricks would be called in Ireland, right?
So if you call them St. Paddy's Day, they're going to have to kill you or make you very painfully aware of it.
This may be why the Irish aren't welcome everywhere.
Because
they're a little touchy about their names.
We have a bit of a temper on us.
It sounds like it, but hopefully you can lubricate that out of your system every day with a Guinness.
Absolutely.
Or something equivalent to it.
We love talking about those things, but I suppose...
I've noticed that. I'm not sure our audience loves it as much as you and I do.
Well, yes, that could be, Doug. I suppose you know, I will let you go now and talk about Medicare.
Well, we called this meeting for that purpose, so let's call it to order. And what I wanted to do was just share some good news. You kind of know about the good news because you've been involved in creating it. But the audience and potential buyers of Medicare supplements do not know about this good news yet. But in Illinois, we have created and perfected, Randy has, I say we because I'm a credit grabber from way back, but we have a widget now that works like a champ for finding out what your Medicare supplement would cost if you were to buy it from Medicare for the Lazy Man. And then we have the mechanism by which you can fill out the paperwork online and have that paperwork sent right to us, to Randy and I. And we would then check it over for potential errors and shoot it in the insurance company. And you would find yourself the proud owner of a high-quality Medicare supplement. So that's pretty exciting for us to have one of our 50 states up and running, because we've been doing this for a couple of years now. And the insurance company and or the government have kept changing things out from under us. And that has caused the process to have to be derailed and then placed back on the tracks and maybe headed a different direction and reconstructed, reconfigured. And it's really, it's been kind of a cumbersome series of steps for us to present you with an easy way to buy your Medicare supplement in Illinois without having to leave your home and without having to put up with any insurance dopes like me. I think it's important to be able to do these sorts of things by yourself when you feel confident that your decision process has been made correctly. And we're here to help you with the decision process. We're here to help you get your questions answered if you have any. And we're here to help you find out what your Medicare supplement would cost and to purchase that Medicare supplement by filling out the paperwork online. Now, what I do that's different from my competitors who offer Medicare supplement insurance is I have chosen a company that I think best represents all the qualities that the Illinois marketplace has to offer. In other words, this company and its Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois has functioned in Illinois for ever since health insurance was invented, almost since the 1930s. And they have been the king of the hill, the cock of the walk when it comes to all types of health insurance. They're highly respected. They rarely screw up. They treat their clientele with respect. And while they may not be the least expensive product that we could offer, I've been telling people in my book, and it's always been my position, that you don't necessarily want the least expensive company because they're going to change their rates every year. That least expensive company could become the most expensive after 5 or 6 years. Whereas if you pick a good solid company that maintains a profit level that's reasonable but not greedy, you're going to find that your rate will stay reasonable even though it's going to increase every year for the rest of the time you have the product. So not looking for the cheapest, but looking for the best overall quality. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is as highly respected as any insurance company that operates in Illinois, and that's why I selected it for our first state that's ready for Medicare supplement sales to our Medicare for the Lazy Man audience. So what do we have? We have your standard Medicare supplement plans, and I just wanted to run through a few of the rates to show you what you'd be facing if you decided to buy your Medicare supplement from MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, or actually from me. Let's just say from me, Doug Jones, because I would be your agent. If you ever had a problem, if you ever had a complaint, if you ever had a question, I am the one who is responsible for helping satisfy your curiosity, your fixing your problem, or whatever. So as your agent, I say to you, Medicare supplements from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois are reasonably priced. They're not the least expensive on the market, but they are certainly quite reasonable. So let's suppose that you are a female age 65 and you want to get a high deductible Plan G like I've been talking about. Your monthly premium would be $43.97. Now, if you said, well, that's very reasonable, I could actually afford to pay more for a regular Plan G, what would that cost me? A regular Plan G is going to pay all of the co-pays, co-insurance, all of the Medicare-approved charges that Medicare itself doesn't pay. It'll pay everything for you without exception, or with only one exception, that would be the $200 annual Part B deductible. That would cost you $120.18 a month. And this is why I recommend high deductible plans. Instead of paying $120.18, you could pay $43.97 a month. And as a healthy person, you'd be saving about $80 a month or thereabouts. You would have the opportunity to walk away at the end of the year with a bunch more cash in your bank account. And if you ever needed to get medical treatment and pay that deductible of $23.40, you will have saved so much money over the months that you've had the high deductible Plan G that you can just dip into that bank account and pay for that deductible, and you'd still be money ahead at the end of the year. Now, what about old timers who are age 65? I know that some of them are not going to be, they're going to be too old, I think. People born in 1954 are not eligible for Plan F. But if you were eligible for Plan F as a 65-year-old woman, non-smoking, you would have a premium of, for Plan F, the absolute Cadillac, of $157.17. That's the most you would pay for a Medicare supplement. Plan F is the richest plan, and it's also the simplest. It pays for everything that Medicare doesn't pay for, that's Medicare approved. If you're a male non-smoker, age 65, and you're able to get Plan F, you would be paying $179.13 a month. But I always recommend looking at the high deductible version of a plan. So high deductible Plan F would cost the woman, instead of $157, it would cost the woman $43.97 a month. That's a savings of about $115 a month. It would cost the man $50.12 a month. That's a savings of almost $130 a month to take the high deductible plan. If you're a healthy person that doesn't expect to have any significant interaction with medical providers during the course of the following year, you're going to be better off with a high deductible plan, socking away the extra money or spending it on things that you like, you know, gift for the little lady or something like that. And at the end of the year, you'll be money ahead by taking the high deductible plan. So if we were to look at some other ages, let's say age 68, Plan G would cost a non-smoking woman $144.78, about $145 a month for Plan G, which is such a great plan. But if that woman said, I don't plan on hanging around the doctor's offices, what would the high deductible Plan G cost? That high deductible Plan G would cost about $52. So there's about a 90-some dollar monthly saving. If that man, that age 68 male non-smoker, wanted to get the full-blown Plan G, it'd be $167 a month. But if he wanted to get the high-performance Plan G, high deductible, that would cost him about $60 a month. So we're looking at a very substantial savings. And then if we were to talk about a 70-year-old, somebody who's worked for 5 years on their employer's health insurance plan, they're about ready to retire, what would a Plan G cost a non-smoking female at age 70? The Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois would charge her $160 a month. If she chose the Plan G high deductible, it would be $57 a month, savings of about $103 and some change. A man age 70 would pay $184.91, almost $185. But if he took the high deductible Plan G, he'd be paying $65 a month. Now, I don't know how anybody can beat that with a Medicare Advantage plan, even by saying that Medicare Advantage plan is almost free of charge, or premium free, as they often call it, because that Medicare Advantage plan, if you need it, is going to cost you thousands and thousands of dollars out of pocket in the form of co-pays, co-insurance, daily fees for various kinds of things, depending on the nature of the treatment you need, ambulance rides and all that stuff. Days in the hospital will cost you hundreds of dollars, most likely. So compared to that, the risk that you face with a high deductible Medicare supplement plan is limited and very, very palatable for most people. So with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois in our back pocket, I think we've got an excellent tool and a gift, almost a gift for the people of Illinois, Randy.
I agree. The widget is working. I personally can attest to that. I've tested it forwards and backwards. Now, the age range doesn't go nearly high enough for me.
What, 100 isn't enough for you?
100's not enough for me. I go back before there was Medicare, before there was Social Security. We used to trade in buffalo hides, Doug.
Well, do you have a picture in your attic that's aging?
Yes.
Even faster than you are, because you're remarkably well-preserved, I have to tell you.
Oh, dear. I wish that was the case.
Well, when I say gift, I also include those over age 100, because the premium charge for age 100 on the rate tables that we have includes everybody over 100. So if you're 105, you're still going to pay the rate of a youthful 100-year-old.
Yes, absolutely. And I find that just a great deal.
Yes, it is. We have millions of 100-plus-year-olds that every year that applaud Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois for that wonderful rate thing. The actuaries there are working overtime to provide that.
We had, bless her heart, we had a neighbor across the road from us. we called her yesterday to wish her her happy birthday. 97.
Oh, boy. And please tell me she's not driving anymore.
No, actually, she rides a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Well, all righty. That's good. I hope that she does. I don't know. I hope she's not endangering John Q. Public out there. But God bless her for being spry enough to enjoy life at age 97.
Still living in her own house.
Good for her.
She's not driving anymore, but she lives in her own house, doing her own thing. Doesn't really sound like a 97 or 6-year-old. I forget. I should probably find out before I say 6 or 7, but I know it's one of those two. And she sounds like we knew her initially when she was living across the road from us when she was, you know, like 75.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, up here in the foothills, we've got a neighbor. We had a neighbor 15 years ago when I first moved here who was in her middle 90s, and she was ornery. She lived by herself. She had kids in California, so she had a Cadillac that she drove as an everyday driver, and then she had a giant conversion van with a big, tall ceiling and air conditioning units on the top of this thing. I mean, I swear, it was like an F-350, a one-ton truck frame with the van built around it. And she would get into that thing, and she was, you know, probably 5 feet tall, and just scare people off the road all the way to California and all the way back about once a month.
Probably couldn't see her over the steering wheel.
It was, I'm sure people thought it was like Christine coming down the road to get them, because there's nobody driving that car.
Yeah, I can picture that, you know, just, what is this coming? There's no one driving this car.
Yet it's coming right at me on the wrong side of the road. And well, this woman was artsy fartsy. And I was at a different neighbor's house when she came over and asked to borrow their stepladder. And the neighbor said, why, sure, you can borrow the stepladder. Her name was Jean. It's out in the garage. And I said, Jean, first of all, let me carry it over to your house. Secondly, please don't climb the stepladder. I will come over and do whatever you want on the stepladder. And it involved window treatments in her house. And she looked at me like, you son of a bitch. So my phone rang a couple of days later, and it was Jean. And she said, you said you'd help me out by climbing the stepladder. Would you come down and do that for me? And I said, yes, I will. I'll be right there. I went down there. It turns out she had been up and down that stepladder about 50, maybe 500 times over the ensuing couple of days, hanging her window hangings. And now she wanted me to be up on the ladder doing the adjustments while she could stand back to see what they looked like.
She wanted to stand back and eyeball it from a distance.
She also wanted to show me that she wasn't going to be ordered around by any young whippersnapper age 65 or whatever I was. And it was tense. When I saw what she had done, I said, my God. And then I said, could you come over to my house, bring your ladder? And I got a few things you could do. But she drove to California to visit her kids in that big old conversion van once too often. They snatched her up and threw her in an old folks' home. And that was the beginning of the end for her. She did not last much longer after that.
You got to keep act. I was just talking to our friend, as I said yesterday, wishing her happy birthday. And that was one thing that came up in the conversation. I said, what do you owe your wonderful, active, healthy longevity to? And she said, staying active. She said, she worked. She's from the South. Mm-hmm. She lives down in Beaufort, South Carolina now.
My aunt lived there for a long time.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous little town. Yeah. And she said, I worked until I was 70. I mean, every day of her freaking life, she worked until she was 70. And beyond that, she didn't slow down much. But she is a very active woman. So if you've been, have you been to Beaufort?
I tried to get there, and I missed it by a couple of miles once. So, no, I have not seen Beaufort. I've seen the map. I know what it's laid out like.
Beaufort is a gorgeous little town, and I'll never forget when Margaret and I, my wife and I, we're going to go down and visit our friend in Beaufort, and she says, honey, when you get down here, I'm going to take you out. This is she crab season. Okay, wow. Now you're talking to a guy from Nebraska. I don't know. I know what a crab is, but I have no idea.
How do you
idea.
Tell the difference between I don't the know she crabs and the he crabs?
I don't know the difference.
I know some crabs are less desirable than others.
Well, apparently, I asked her, I said, there's just a little short, tiny season for she crabs.
Okay.
And some people really like them. There's some sort of a delicacy, you know, to some of them who likes them. And I wouldn't know a he crab from a she crab from anything else. But she really wanted to show us the town. And she took us to this crab shack. What was the name of that movie that Tom Hanks was in?
Oh, I was going to say Porky's, but that's not Tom Hanks.
Forrest Gump.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You remember that one scene? There was several scenes in Forrest Gump that were actually filmed outside this restaurant she took us to in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Darn it. Well, you know, my aunt lived there. Her name was Molly Mayall, and, you know, another Southern lady like many in my family. And she basically she sounded like a gravel pit because she smoked non-filtered cigarettes all her life. She was fun to talk to. I would record her voice and then scare telemarketers with it. What do you want? But she was a wonderful woman. Anyway, so we should probably think about hanging it up because I'm anxious to get to our next episode that we're going to record.
Yes, we've had a blast today, but we have overextended our fuel gauge on the time. So we need to thank a few people, Doug, and we probably need to thank a lot of people that listened to us and, you know, joined us. Without them, we wouldn't have nearly as much fun. And you've probably got some things you want to say about your new book on Amazon.
I'm so excited to have Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 on as an Audible book. Those Audible fans have something now that they can sink their teeth into. And we've been selling about one a day, but that's where you start. You start from zero, then you go to one, and then pretty soon it'll be more than that. The Medicare for the Lazy Man paperback and Kindle books have been number one in their category and number two in travel tips. Figure that one out. I don't understand that at all. But it would be number one except for this puzzle book that is number one in the travel tips category.
I really don't understand that, Doug.
But I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. So thank you to all of you book readers and buyers. And if you feel like the book has been helpful to you, then why don't you leave a review? I appreciate it, and future readers will appreciate it. Also, thanks again to Drew McMillan, my nephew, who opened this episode in inimitable style. And Randy, finally, thanks to you. Without you, I'd be talking into a mic and no noise would be coming out the other end.
Well, you're very welcome, Doug. I was just going to say, in case Drew ever does listen in on this, I just wanted to say that I listen to his stuff time and time and time again, and I it puts a smile on my face. I just can't help it.
Well, you're about to have a whole new batch of his stuff to listen to.
I know, and I am excited.
Well, get your random number generator handy.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to have a larger chunk of things to generate.
Well, everybody, we thank you again. We know you could have been 100 different places, and you weren't. You were listening to the Medicare podcast with Doug Jones and, as I affectionately call him, the anti-insurance guy, Doug Jones, with Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.